I'm Caitlin Phillips, and for this episode of The Side Comment, Mark Glancy delves into the Cary Grant papers to unearth five little-known facts about the Hollywood legend.
Hello, I'm Mark Glancy, and I'm a film historian at Queen Mary, University of London, where I teach American and British film history. And in this podcast, I'm going to tell you five things about Cary Grant that I discovered while researching my new book, Cary Grant, The Making of a Hollywood Legend. The first fact is that Cary Grant had a vault built into his home in Beverly Hills, a big, steel, walk-in vault like the kind you would expect to find in a bank. He didn't want to store money or jewels in his vault, but he did want a safe place to store his memorabilia, personal, family, and career memorabilia, everything from birth certificates to letters, film scripts, personal and professional photos, and 24 oversized scrapbooks of publicity from every phase of his career, beginning in the 1920s when he was on stage and carrying on through the decades he spent in Hollywood. And this vault was really the impetus for me to write my book, because when Cary Grant died, his family donated the contents to a film industry archive, the Margaret Herrick Library in Los Angeles, where they are now known as the Cary Grant Papers. I spent many weeks with these papers, going through them box by box, file by file, and piece by piece. It was an amazing experience, and at times quite an intense one, to be able to read Cary Grant's letters, look through his passports, his address books, and to see the notes that he wrote in the margins of his film scripts. I went to many other archives as well, but using his own personal archive gave me an intimate sense of who he was as a person, and it allowed me to see how Archie Leach, a working-class kid from Bristol, became not only a film star, but an icon of worldly sophistication and glamour. The second fact centers on Cary Grant's relationship with his mother. Among his personal papers was a box of dozens of letters that he and his mother wrote to one another over the course of three decades, beginning in 1936, when she was released from the Bristol Mental Asylum, and carrying on into the 1960s when she went into a care home. The tragic aspect of their relationship is that she disappeared when he was 11 years old, and he grew up thinking that she had abandoned him or that she had died. What he didn't know was that his father had had his mother committed to the asylum against her will, and he didn't find this out for another 20 years. By this time, he was a film star living in Hollywood, and it was very difficult for them to get to know one another again. She was released from the asylum, and he visited her in Bristol when he could, but the letters they wrote to one another show how difficult it was for them to get to know one another again, to reestablish a bond. For his mother, it was hard to believe that her little boy, Archie, had grown up to be this 30-year-old dashing film star. For him, it was difficult to know what to do with a mother who had missed two decades of his life. He supported her financially for the rest of her life, but he also kept her at arm's length, never allowing her to visit him in California, even though in the letters she asked him many times if she could come. The third fact is that although young Archie Leach was bright enough to get a scholarship to a secondary school at the age of 12, after his mother's disappearance, he became a wayward lad and often skipped school. He kept a diary at this time, which reveals that when he wasn't at school, he was working in Bristol's music hall theaters as a backstage runner, and he was utterly, completely enamored of show business. He found a new family in show business and an escape route from his unhappy home life. Within a year, he was expelled from school, and he ran away from home to join one of the acrobatic troupes that had played Bristol's Empire Theater. The fourth fact concerns Grant and director Alfred Hitchcock. They made four classic films together: Suspicion, Notorious, To Catch a Thief, and North by Northwest. And they were also very good friends, sharing dinners and birthdays together right up until Hitchcock's death in 1980. And their friendship comes to light in the letters and cards that they wrote to one another, which are often quite sentimental and affectionate, and also very funny. They shared a British working-class background and a sense of humor informed by music hall gags and jokes. For example, when Grant sent Hitchcock a ham for his 80th birthday, Hitchcock immediately got the joke and sent him a card thanking him from one ham to another. The fifth and last fact for today is that Cary Grant had a very unusual degree of control and power as a film star from 1937 onward. He'd spent the previous 5 years, 1932 to 1937, under contract to Paramount Pictures, where, as usual during the studio era, he was assigned to films that he had little control over. But in 1937, he refused to renew his contract with Paramount. He gave up the safety of a long-term studio contract to become an independent, freelance star. A few stars did this at the peak of their careers, when they were already well established, but Cary Grant did this when he was still up and coming. And he did it because he saw that, if he was successful, it would allow him to choose which films he made, which directors and co-stars he worked with. And from the very beginning, he made the right choices. Topper, The Awful Truth, and Bringing Up Baby were his first three films as a freelancer. And it was these films that established him as a top star and an unparalleled screen comedian. Henceforth, he chose each and every film that he made. He had the right of approval over his directors and co-stars. He had the right of approval over the script. And he scrutinized every aspect of his films, often insisting that sets and costumes were improved or changed, and, more importantly, insisting that scenes were improvised and reimagined on the set during filming, thus breathing life and spontaneity into them. He was the architect of his own career, and he was a significant creative force in his many films, which still delight and enthrall audiences today.